You've been listening to Mentoring Matters, mentoring in today's business world with hosts Rainey Petrin and Dave Carson. If you have a question for Rainey, Dave, or their guests, please call us now at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now, back to Mentoring Matters.
Welcome back, everybody. Dave and I are here, and we're having a conversation about communicating strategies in communication strategies in mentoring. And I know, Dave, we had a break. There are a couple points that you felt you wanted to emphasize to our audience, so why don't we take a few minutes to do that before moving on?
Okay, Rene, thank you very much. Yeah, there's a couple of things that we sort of moved over very quickly in the conversation, and these things tend to come up in the training programs. One is that... What does the mentoree do if they have a problem with the line manager? And, of course, we do talk about this on the training, that if there is a real problem with the mentoree and the line manager, then that definitely is a problem between them, and the mentor is not getting involved in sorting that out. The mentor, of course, may offer some strategy on how to deal with it.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's really, really important because sometimes when you're dealing with mentors at a training session, they feel an obligation to do something about something like that. And the response has always got to be, you can't get involved because by getting involved, we start blurring the boundaries between who the mentor is and who the manager is.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine the scenario where, you know, and this happens at times where there are people, they call them talent reviews. They'll have, you know, let's say the mentor is the senior manager along with the manager of the mentoree. They're, you know, they're peers. And you know, the president says, all right, we have this candidate, and, you know, what do you think about him? And the manager says, this person's not ready for promotion. The mentor says, I think that manager is ready for promotion. Well, what are you going to do at that
Absolutely.
Point? Who are you going to listen to? If you support the mentor over the manager's recommendation, you've set up an antagonistic relationship that, you know that manager is going to go tell his or her friends who are peers about watch out for the mentoring program because, you know, what they're going to do is they're going to undermine you. So it's a really important point to bring up,
yeah.
Dave.
And the other one that... You know, we're talking about not undermining the line manager's role. Sometimes line managers say, well, what happens if this mentor really likes the mentoree and they're really talented, they're high potential going places, and they want them on their team, and they're taken away from my team?
Yeah.
And sometimes line managers get a bit nervous about that one.
Exactly. Don't steal my talent away. Is this mentoring program designed to steal my people?
Yeah.
And you know, I have to admit that in the course of 18 years of this business doing mentoring, that certainly has occurred because obviously sometimes it really is the best thing, but you can't set it up so that it's acceptable to do that. There are circumstances that warrant that, and if you discuss it, if the program manager gets involved in the discussion with the line manager and, you know, the mentor and so forth, it'll work out. Because obviously even line managers want to make sure the person remains within the company. But it's really important to set that as a boundary, that it's the purpose of this mentoring program is not to move you to another part of the company, per
Absolutely.
Se. You know, it's
yep.
really, really critical. That's really two very, very good points, Dave. And I think, again, it speaks to the notion that if you want to set up a world-class professional mentoring program, training is critical, setting up boundaries are critical, and making sure that all the players are on the same page. And one of the ways you do that is to communicate with the line managers. We recommend an orientation session, which is what we do, that really helps to close the loop and makes people feel more comfortable and understand their role within the mentoring program.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, one of the things we wanted to do, you know, we talked a little bit about the other people that we communicate with is the program manager and the mentor and mentoree. So we thought we would do, Dave and I, was to play a couple skits for you and then discuss the communication that's happening between the individuals. The first skit is going to be a program manager discussing an issue with a mentoree. So we'll pause to listen to the skit, that Dave and I will come back and share our thoughts about that.
Hi, Monica. I just wanted to check in with you to ask how things went with your mentoring session last week.
It's going okay. I'm learning a lot from my mentor.
Is the relationship meeting your needs and your expectations?
Yeah, I think so.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, David really does have a lot of expertise and a lot of experience that I am finding very valuable, but I just wish he were not quite so controlling.
So how do you feel that he's being controlling?
Well, a lot of times in the sessions, I really feel like I'm a student rather than a partner in this relationship. You know, he'll tell me about his expertise, he gives me work to do, and then the next time we meet, he evaluates how well I've done it. And I had expected a little more give and take, kind of a collaboration between us.
Have you been able to bring this up to him?
I did bring it up at our last meeting, but it didn't really seem to make any difference. He feels pretty strongly that his role is to guide and direct me so that I don't make any mistakes. And I don't get the sense he has a lot of confidence in my abilities.
So was it ever resolved, the whole situation?
No. I mean, it really wasn't. I mean, I don't think it was. I just think that this is how he prefers to mentor and that it's really something I need to work within that framework.
I don't think in the long run that's a strategy that's going to work for the two of you. I think you should bring this up again with him.
I don't know. I just don't know if it'll do that much good. I mean, he really does feel strongly about this.
Maybe, but the relationship has got to work for both of you for it to be successful, not just him.
Okay, I'll try.
Do you want to talk about how you might have the conversation with him? I'm happy to help you strategize on that if you'd like.
No, you know, I appreciate the offer, but I think I can manage on my own. I'll let you know what happens.
Okay, definitely give me a call after you've had your session with him.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Well, we're back at this point, and Dave, you know, we both had a chance to listen to what was being shared between the program manager and the mentee in this case Monica. What are your thoughts?
Well, what comes across in this conversation, Rennie, is that Monica, the mentoree, seems to be saying that the mentor is quite controlling,
yep,
quite direct in the whole thing. And that concerns me.
Yeah,
I don't know about you.
Yeah, it concerns me as well. And I think the issue is that it's a question of, I guess, understanding that and then having a strategy to deal with it, because clearly what's happening here is Monica's not feeling that she's a partner in this process.
Well, that's right, and I think she alludes to that.
Yep.
She feels like a student rather than a partner in,
yep,
the relationship.
Exactly. And that is, you know, that's not an uncommon approach that some mentors use, because they feel that, you know, that's part of their role. I need to manage this individual as opposed to being that person's mentor.
Yes.
You know, and that's a clear difference in how you approach things. Now, what do you think the program manager did that was particularly good here?
Well, certainly the program manager is giving a lot of time to the mentee to listen. And at the end of the discussion, the program manager is asking if the Monica would like to strategize this with her, you know,
yep,
to talk things through,
yep,
to find out a good,
yep,
way of going back to the mentor and discussing this.
Yeah, yeah. I also thought that what the program manager does is ask a lot of open-ended questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that's a really important technique, because that gets the person to speak. And that, I thought, was a particularly important technique. The other thing I thought that was helpful that the program manager did is want to make sure that, you know, what was really the issue, was trying to get at what is the issue. Didn't just kind of take, well, yeah, it's going okay, but picked up on the fact that the mentee was really articulating in a very indirect way that she wasn't all that happy.
Sure.
So she picked up on it, you know, because sometimes a person could say, well, how are things going? Well, they're going okay. And you say, all right, well, that's good enough, and we can move on. In this case, the program manager really says, well, tell me more kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know? And also another thing that I thought she did well was she said this needs to be solved.
Well, absolutely, and this is what she's saying, isn't it? This,
yeah,
relationship has to work for both of you.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that by saying that, what she's really saying is we can't let this go.
Yes.
And by doing that, there's another thing that she's doing, and she's putting the onus on the mentee.
Well, and this is another point, Rennie, about the programs that we run. It's the mentoree who's driving this.
Yeah.
Now, my thoughts go to this. If the program manager doesn't get these points across to the mentoree, this could keep going on and going on. And what I think might happen here is that the mentor may start managing the mentoree. What are your thoughts on that one, Rennie?
Well, I think what happens is that if the mentor keeps on, quote, managing the mentee, what's eventually going to happen is there are two things that generally happen. The mentees often will feel they're stuck in the relationship. They won't generally, although we always talk about a no-fault program, whereby either partner are free to drop out of the relationship if, in fact, they don't feel it's working. That's easier said than done for the mentor than it is for the mentee, because there are political consequences sometimes if we drop out of the relationship. So often what mentees will do is if they try to address this issue, it doesn't get resolved, they'll go through the motions.
Yes.
And that means that it's a waste of time for both the mentor and the mentee. On rare occasions, there is a mentee who I think is able to say, look, it's not what I want, but I'm getting something out of it anyway, so I won't just show up, which is what a lot of people do, but I will show up and actually, you know, participate in it, but it just isn't what I would have wanted.
Yes.
You know, and that's an important point.
Do you think there's anything in the way that this mentee discusses the situation that gives you a clue into the way a preferred communication style?
Well, I do think that what we may have here is a difference in communication styles, whereas
yeah.
I think we may have a mentor who prefers to be direct and controlling versus a mentee who either wants to be more collaborative or self-directed. And I know we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a few minutes in terms of communication styles, but that I think is correct. If this was one situation, it would be one thing. But if it's a common thing, that's going to be a real issue that they have to deal with. Okay, we have to take a break right now. When we come back, we will continue our conversation on communication strategies in mentoring.